You see, God has called us to service, and He has called us to suffering. Suffering is a normal part of the Christian experience.
What does the Bible mean when it says all things work together for good? Hi, this is Grace in Focus, and I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And welcome to another wonderful week of Grace in Focus. We're really excited that you decided to join us today. I'll return at the end of the broadcast to tell you how to get your hands on some of our free resources that I think are really going to help you grow. But right now, let's jump right into our discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar as we explore this important subject. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio.
Hi.
My name is Sean.
Hi, Sean. I'm Bob.
All right. How's it going, Bob?
It's going well. Thanks.
Well, I just love being on this show and being able to talk theology about all kinds of different theology. And what I want to do today is I want to talk about a very famous verse. It's Romans 8:28. You'll find it on a lot of coffee cups, a lot of sweaters, a lot of posters. Romans 8:28. People love to take this verse and apply it to just about any situation in their life. And here's what it says. I'm sure you know it. Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." Now, let's say a man is about to leave his wife and children, and he's about to go to his girlfriend or his mistress. Can he take Romans 8:28 and say, "Guess what, honey? I know I'm leaving you in poverty, but all things work together for good." Is that what this verse is about?
Yeah, that's just before his wife hits him with the bat. Yeah, no, I don't think that's what this verse is talking about. In order to understand this verse, you need to see it in context. And the context starts in verse 18, and we won't have time to go through the whole context. But verse 18 introduces the theme of suffering. And the theme of suffering goes from verse 18 all the way to verse 39 at the end of the chapter. In verse 16, he says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." Verse 17, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together."
All right, so wait, there's two different heirs there, right?
Yeah, I once in a Bible study talked about airships, and my wife thought I was talking about dirigibles, you know? But no, it's H-E-I-R, ship.
So that's someone who's going to inherit something. An
right.
Heir is someone who inherits something.
Right. And so because you and I are believers in Christ, we're already heirs of God.
So
that's a done deal.
Everybody is an heir of God. But Paul...
Every believer. Yeah,
every believer. Yeah. But Paul is... Now he mentions a second type of heir in verse 17. So there's heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Why does he add that? What is that?
Yeah, this is being a co-heir with Christ, being one who shares in His rule in the life to come. And the reason he adds it is because that's Paul's whole point in the second half of Romans 8, is that we are to seek to be glorified together with Christ so that we might rule and reign with Him. And in order to do that, notice it's conditional.
Right. It's not. It doesn't just happen because you believe.
No, it says right here, if indeed we suffer with Him. And in fact, verse 18 starts out with that same statement. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed."
So being a joint heir with Christ, having this special inheritance, depends on suffering for Christ. It's not automatic for every believer. It's only for those who suffer with Him.
That's exactly right. And we don't have time to go through, but he talks about all of creation groans, and we who are in these bodies groan as we look forward to the redemption of our bodies. So just having illnesses and aches and pains and all of the problems that we face in life, all of that reminds us of the glory that is to come. All of that, in some sense, can be a sharing in Christ's suffering if we're doing it to the glory of God.
What this teaches us is you can't just take a verse out of context. You know, and that's a lesson that we've tried to teach you guys over and over again. You can't take a verse out of context. You have to actually look at the paragraph or, you know, the chapter that it's in and try to understand what Paul or any biblical author means in the context of the entire passage. And so the context of this passage is people who are suffering for Christ and the special heirship they will receive.
And that explains what he means in verse 28. God works all things together for good to those who love God. That is those who suffer with Christ. That's a synonym for suffering with Christ.
Right. And so that's not everybody.
No. There are believers who do not love Christ, at least in their current experience. In 2 Timothy 4, Paul talks about, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. And then he says, henceforth there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me, and not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing.
Right.
That's loving God. But then he says in verse 10, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas lost his love for God and fell in love with the present world. Now, we don't know what happened to Demas because he doesn't talk about him except in earlier epistles where he mentions him as a good fellow worker.
Right.
But the point is, no, it's not guaranteed that a believer loves God. But if we do love God, then we understand all of the suffering, the aches and pains, all the things we undergo, God is using those ultimately for good.
Right. So when Paul says all things work together for good, he's not talking about your sins. He's not talking about, I'm going to leave my wife and kids and that's going to work out for good.
No, that's what the author of Hebrews called the passing pleasures of sin. What we find is if we love God, God blesses us.
Right.
And if we do not love God, God does not bless us.
Right. He has to discipline us.
He does the opposite. He disciplines us.
Right.
Yeah.
We're really talking about the difference between eternal life and eternal rewards. All right. Eternal life is by faith in Christ, totally apart from works. Just one moment of faith in Jesus for the life that he promises, and you have that life. But now, as you live the Christian life, eternal rewards are at stake because Jesus is going to be establishing a kingdom on this earth. And there's going to be degrees of reward in that kingdom. There's going to be degrees of inheritance in that kingdom. Some people are going to inherit more than others. Jesus said, lay up treasure. And so what Paul is talking about in Romans 8:28 is that. He's talking about eternal rewards. He's talking about if you suffer for Jesus, then everything's going to work for good for you because you've loved God. But there's also a second condition, isn't there, in Romans 8:28?
Yes, it says, to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. You see, God has called us to service, and he has called us to suffering. Suffering is a normal part of the Christian experience. You'll remember in Matthew 16, Peter makes this great confession. Jesus says, who do men say that I am? And they give various answers. And then he says, who do you say that I am? Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus praises him. And then Jesus says in Matthew 16 that he's going to Jerusalem, that he's going to be mistreated, that he's going to suffer, and he's going to die, and then he's going to rise on the third day. And Peter takes him aside and says, Lord, this will never happen to you.
Right.
He's denying the cross, right?
Right.
And Jesus then publicly, in front of the other disciples, says, get behind me, Satan, or adversary. That word means adversary. Because he says, you have not set your mind on the things of God, but the things of man. And then he says, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him do what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That is what is being spoken of here on this calling. We are called to deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow him. In fact, if you read Dr. John Walvoord's commentary on Matthew, he was the president of Dallas Seminary while I was there. In his commentary on Matthew, when he gets to Matthew 16 and verses 20 to 28, he says the theme here is that suffering precedes glory. And he said, suffering preceded glory for our Savior and Lord, and suffering will precede glory for us. To the degree, as you've mentioned, to the degree that we suffer with him, to that degree we'll be glorified together with him. In 2 Timothy 2:12, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. In 2 Timothy 4:7 and 8, he says, to all who have loved his appearing. We must be persevering at the end of our Christian lives in order to rule with Christ. As you mentioned, of course, if we lay up treasure in heaven, it'll be there. But as far as being a joint heir with Christ, that requires that we not only suffer with him today, But tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, this is our lifestyle. This is who we are.
Right.
Isaiah 52 and 53 talks about the Messiah as the suffering servant. He's the suffering servant of Yahweh, sent to go to the cross for his people. Well, we are also called to be suffering servants. Now, we're not the Messiah, but we're called to follow him. Many people know John 3:16. You alluded to it earlier. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's because for God so loved the world. However, a lot of people don't know 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16 says, he laid down his life for us, looking at the cross. Therefore, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So we see in Jesus a pattern for the way we should live. He suffered. It only makes sense that we should suffer with him. And the idea that somehow what God wants for the faithful Christian, what he's called us to, is prosperity and a life free of pain and suffering.
Right. That's not biblical.
That's not biblical.
Here's something for you to think about. I'm sure that you want Romans 8:28 to be true of you, and it can be.
Amen.
But not in the way you've probably thought. This is not a blanket promise that no matter what you do, no matter how you act, that anything you do is going to turn out for your good. No, that's not what Paul's talking about. Paul's talking about a special glory that is reserved for those people who love Jesus and who are suffering for him. Is that who you are? Is that how you are living?
That's a great point, Sean. And I think one final closing point I might make, he's not saying everything is good for us in terms of our present experience. But like Job, you know, he says, naked I came into the world and naked I shall depart. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our attitude should be, if there are bad things that happen in our life, God is working it together for good. Ultimately, that means in terms of our eternal rewards and everything else. Yes, we suffer, but all that suffering has value. It pleases God if we handle it in a way that honors him. So that's our calling, to suffer with Christ that we might be glorified together with him, so that all things will work together for good to those of us who love him.
Amen.
Thanks, Bob and Sean. Who knew there are conditions to some of the promises in the Bible? Thanks for clearing that up. Well, I want to tell you, the listener, about some of our free resources that are available on faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. First of all, you might be interested to know that you can get a completely free subscription to our print magazine. It's a fantastic resource, and I think you really will benefit from it. Also, on the website, we've got podcasts and blog posts and even information about upcoming events. So take advantage of that by going to faithalone.org. You might even have questions or comments. That's great. We love to hear from listeners. So contact us through email, radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, on the broadcast next time, we're going to talk about one of those confusing words, predestination. I hope you're predestined to tune into the broadcast next... Oh, the producer's telling me that that's not what that word actually means. I guess we'll have to listen in tomorrow to find out. Well, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.